We know there are times where you're just too busy to sort through the mass of information that comes your way. So to make it easier for you to stay informed, subscribe to The Morning Agenda, WITF's news podcast, where the only agenda is you.
Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like its Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC. Choose UPMC for your family's health care needs close to home. Visit upmc.com/centralPA for a complete list of services and locations.
Harrisburg native Brian Wade is a military veteran with experience in two branches, an accomplished television producer and the founder of Keystone Oral Histories, which is an organization that addresses the absence of historical documentation concerning diverse ethnic minority communities. And on The Spark today, I want to welcome Brian and his wife to discuss the inception of his organization and his aspirations for its enduring influence. Brian, welcome to The Spark.
Yes, thank you so much for having myself and my wife.
Yes. So, how did you decide to start this organization? What was it that made you say, you know what, this needs to be served?
Well, having served in two branches of the military and having a good sense of the history of our participation in America's military service, and having been a former educator in 2017, I said something needs to be done to address, I think, the disparity with respect to regional African-American histories in schools and in media. And so in 2017, I pulled together just a couple of people to help me with organizing a documentary which looked at African Americans that served in the military from Dauphin County from World War II beyond Vietnam. So I had a great repository of people that I was aware of in this region. And so I pulled them together and they all participated in the documentary, and that was back in 2017. And then we also created a companion curriculum because I knew as an educator, it's one thing to have a visual medium, but to me, I use this word, I don't know if it's a real word, I use the word, a curriculum kind of concretizes it or gives it a long kind of or more impact because it's being utilized in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of teachers will tell you they don't have much in the way of specific regional or local ethnic minority curriculum.
Yeah.
In their school system. I knew that having been an educator teaching in Harrisburg, in York, and in North Carolina, I knew that was the case. So I didn't have, as they say, one nickel to rub against another when I started this. But, you know, that's never been a hindrance for me. I've done this so many times where I see a need. I did that with my television series that was seen in different markets around the United States that dealt with the issue of race in America. And it addressed racial and social constructs. It was entitled Worlds Apart. And, you know, I just stepped out on faith, and one thing led to another, and took me to college tours to Stanford, to Morehouse College School of Medicine, to Drexel University, and did that for 12 years. So I brought kind of an amalgam of my formal training and education, my informal, introduction into media, you know, in terms of producing its television series that was seen for almost 12 years, produced over 600 half-hour programs, did the first gubernatorial dialogue on race in Pennsylvania back in 2002, which was broadcast over PCN. And so I've been able to use media in a very constructive way to address, you know, issues pertinent to not only just America, but specifically ethnic minority communities, primarily African Americans. So from there in 2017, about a year and a half later, I did the same thing in York, Pennsylvania. And I looked at African Americans that served in the military from the Civil War beyond Vietnam. And that's the documentary eventually that was vetted by WITF that went into the Independence Producers Catalog, and now it's been seen by several PBS member stations around the country. So we're hoping with this upcoming documentary, A History of the Underground Railroad and Abolitionists Throughout South Central Pennsylvania. Matter of fact, I'm getting requests to speak before the documentary's even out.
I've been
in several speaking engagements because they're excited, you know, about the potential of seeing a documentary. And the premise of the documentary isn't really to castigate anybody other than to say that back then in the 1800s, you had people from different ethnic backgrounds that came together, white and black, to basically, some people, scholars call it the first civil rights movement in America in terms of the liberation and the emancipation of people of color during the period of what we call slavery.
Now, how essential is it for folks to know their regional history, especially young black kids knowing, you know, there is significant African American history right here in your own backyard?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll give you a real world situation. When we did this in York, Pennsylvania, a charter school gifted a copy of the curriculum. They started utilizing it, and they came up with creative ways on how to use it. So we did another PCN broadcast called The Need for African American Curriculum in Schools. So one of the teachers gave a brief overview about one of the students when she was introducing the curriculum in the classroom and showed the documentary. And the one African American said, "That's my grandmother."
Oh, wow.
In the documentary. And she didn't know her grandmother was in the military. And the teacher said, "Are you sure that's your grand?" She said, "I know that's my grandmother." And the kind of transformation that student had when they could see something that was relative to their experience and it was made live in the classroom, it's very impactful. And there's research to show that when students see themselves in the context of the American experience and they're more engaged in the classroom, they're more likely to participate. And so having opportunities to network with charter schools and public schools and private schools, you know, on a regional level, I think it's very important because we tend to, and even in the midst of CRT and book banning and things of that regard, I think it's important because they talk about politics being local and the impact that that has within a community. I think history is local, too.
Absolutely.
And there are just so many diamonds and gems of history. You know, like, for instance, I'm a good friend of Bishop Nathan Baxter. He's in the Episcopal Church. He went to Vietnam and got out, went to several colleges, several degrees, and he was the first African American to be dean of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., and he's right here from Harrisburg.
Wow.
So I highlighted an amalgam, men and women, in terms of their contributions, not only nationally, but locally, and there's so many stories here. There really are.
So is the curriculum still available?
Can people yes, the curriculum's still available, and we're proud that, you know, the various iterations of the curriculum contextual to Dauphin County, York County, and now this is a regional, that's a five-county expose, meets what they call National Common Core Standards. So that's like the gold standard for curriculum. So we've been very diligent in trying to improve the curriculum in each iteration, and our board has been very helpful. I have a board member here that could give some more perspective about, you know, their marching orders.
How can folks access this curriculum for the teacher that is listening in the classroom right now?
Well, they could access either by emailing me via the website, or they could call 717-601-9314. We in the process of having the ability to gift some of the curriculums as we raise money to schools that are interested in procuring that. As a matter of fact, we have Stilton High Spire. We're going to be presenting them a copy of the curriculum. We had a benefactor provide the financial underwriting for it. They were very impressed when they saw that because Stilton's in this region.
Yeah.
So they were very impressed with the scope and the, I would say, the due diligence. We have a what they call a middle school, high school version of it. And currently there is a university in this region that's working on the elementary version of this.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to be very expansive. And we've utilized the funds that we were given, I think, in a very prudent way, you know, in terms of reinvesting back in the community. So I'm grateful for a lot of the people and entities and organizations that have been supportive of Keystone's Oral Histories.
I will tell you this. This is something that I wish that I had in my younger years. I remember in elementary school, because my mom kept us with, you know, a plethora of black books. And every February from, like, kindergarten to about ninth grade, you know, I would have to, every February 1st, have a backpack full of black books to give to my teachers so that they can have them in their classroom. And I'm just thinking, like, if something like this was available, you know, my back would be thankful. but also, just having this readily available, I mean, just benefits the teacher so much. So was that the inspiration behind this, to kind of benefit the teachers so that they have an easier avenue to teach this regional history?
Absolutely. Having been a former educator, I kind of have that kind of symbiotic connection with teachers not having a broad and a more local curriculum that they can utilize. So, yes, teachers, and some teachers are kind of antsy because their particular school districts may not be as amenable to the curriculum, even though it's not, again, just in your faith confrontational or disparaging, but it's talking about these histories.
Yeah.
And so it hasn't been all sunshine and roses. You know, it's been a hard trek to eventually bring more attention to this. But I think the longer we keep at this, I do really see that there's going to be an uptick in terms of people's mm-hmm. interest in local and regional histories. And we're looking to even start process that we can go into other communities, because we've been reached out to in Louisiana and Texas about replicating that process and showing them how to do that. So we're looking at maybe a licensing kind of process so that we can go and show them under the Keystones, you know, brand.
Now, I do have to ask this, because we are in the realm of CRT, mm-hmm. you know, and that phrase for some can be a cuss word, mm-hmm. you know. So where are you at with the pushback with trying to implement this program in the different school districts, or has there been any pushback?
Well, it's been what you call under the radar kind of pushback. Mm. You know, you try to reach out to certain entities. I just know a lot of the teachers that I network, because they say, like in church, sheep bring sheep.
Yeah.
But teachers have a way of, you know, reaching out. They're somewhat nervous about trying to introduce something like this. So mm-hmm. I've made connections with schools that I've worked with or my children have attended.
Yeah.
And so there has been some interest. It hasn't been like everybody's knocking the door down, but I still say that regardless to what people will or won't do, as they say, some will, some won't, some can, some don't. Mm. So to the extent that there aren't school districts, some school districts that aren't interested in that, that's not going to deter me, because I can, at least I'll say I addressed an issue that needed to take place. And to the extent that I can pass on that legacy or train mm-hmm. others that are interested in doing that within their own communities, where they create their own autonomy about telling their own stories. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to tell their story. I can't tell their story. I can't go to Louisiana to tell their story. But if I can provide them a framework to, this is how you can do this, this is what you need to do, it will save them the travail that I went through in getting to where I am now. But mm-hmm. I don't regret it at all. And it's good to have board members. So I'd like to get my wife in here mm-hmm. to give her perspectives, you know, regarding our mission and what, you know, Keystones is doing and what they're looking to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
I just really appreciate Brian's work because, as he said, it's inclusive. Mm-hmm. And the victory shows that when we all work together for a common goal, what magnificent things that we can do. Mm. So that's one of the things I really appreciate about what he does, is that, as he said, he's not trying to break down or disparage anyone. And from a board perspective, we're just here to support him and also to raise as much money as we can in order for him to accomplish the things that needs to be accomplished, right? And mm-hmm. so we've come across lots of students that have, like yourself, like myself, that are flabbergasted that these types of information were not available to us, and that we didn't understand how deep our history goes and how much we can accomplish as humanity if we work together.
So you have a upcoming documentary. Can you tell us what it is? What is it about?
Okay. This upcoming documentary, which we are hoping to release, this has been a longer trek than I thought it would be. But, you know, I got to a place where I'm comfortable, and I'm not just trying to make myself get this done sooner than it needs to be done. But the topic is A History of the Underground Railroad Throughout South Central Pennsylvania and American Civil Rights Movement. Mm. So we're looking at that in the context of an early civil rights movement. So it's a 5-county expose, and it's going to highlight 5 counties: York County, Adams County, Cumberland County, Dauphin County, and Lancaster County.
Mm.
And I'm sure you have interest in Lancaster County.
Right? Of course.
I'll say Thaddeus Stevens and Lydia Hamilton Smith.
Yes. Right.
But, and so it's a synoptic view. It's a topical view. We can't do but so much in terms of a really deep dive, because one, I know with the last documentary, I think they gave us 56 minutes and 45 seconds or something like that. So we're hopeful, and hopefully I can have a comment with Fred Vigiant, you know, because mm-hmm. I've been dealing with him the last, to see if they have slots for like an hour and a half or something mm-hmm. like that, because it's going to be tough to cut if we come up with something around an hour and a half to cut about 35 minutes. Now, if it comes down to it, we have to do it, but that's very painstaking. But we're going to see if we can work out something where we get something a little longer. But it will look more at the specific conductors and the pathways that they took coming up from Maryland. And there were four primary pathways that led into York County.
Oh, wow.
And yes, so across like a 30-mile period, you had the pathway that's closest to Lancaster County. It's called Peach Bottom. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Yeah.
And you cut across the Susquehanna River. There's this corridor called the Pilgrim's Pathway. And that was a corridor there that was used for the Underground Railroad that eventually took them on to Christiana.
Oh, wow.
Which is on the eastern side of Lancaster County.
Yeah.
Then on to Philadelphia, you know, and then through Williams Still in Philadelphia, then on up through, depending on how far north they were going, whether it was New York, Boston, or even Canada. Then it will go then to the various pathways that took you into York City or took you over to Adams County. We'll look at the various conductors there, some of the particular locations. We'll look at the Quakers. Some people don't know this, but the Quakers were involved in the slave trade.
Yeah.
They were very involved in the slave trade. But they went through their own metamorphosis in terms of how did they deal with that, and got to a place where they had these various sessions or compacts, and they said, basically, if you're going to be involved in the slave trade, then you're going to be disowned, basically. So eventually, they had their own reckoning, and they really stepped forward. You see them primarily, and more so in York County, the Quakers, and Adams County. That's not to say they're not in Cumberland and Dauphin, but there was more of a concentration coming across from Philadelphia this way or heading west. And then they settled there, and they were also over in Lancaster County, too. There's a series of Quakers there. But then we'll go up through York City, where you'll get a chance to learn about William Goodrich. And one thing I'm very glad I'm going to highlight is that a lot of these station masters, they were not ragtag poor. They were affluent. They were businessmen. They had wealth. As a matter of fact, you may know this from the Columbia. I don't know how much you know, but William Whipper and Stephen Smith. Stephen Smith was one of the richest African Americans east of the Mississippi River. So all these station matter, whether you go to Samuel Berry, Ezekiel Baptiste in York County, William Goodrich, that were African American, they weren't just bystanders that help me. They brought some stuff to the game.
Yeah.
And but it was a collaborative effort. And then so we're going to highlight this. We'll talk about, you know, the various fugitive slave laws in 1793 and 1850 and the impacts. There were a lot of riots, they might say, or disturbances in Christiana. They had them in York. They had them in Dauphin. They had them in all the counties. So we'll highlight topically. We can't go too far in depth, but basically, if you broke each one of those counties, that could be a documentary in and of itself. But I just thought I'd provide a broad synoptic view. So as far as I know, no one's done that yet. And then we've created curriculum, and that curriculum for the middle school and high school is 350 pages. And I was talking with the one doctor, PhD, and she's probably going to have the first iteration of the elementary curriculum done here by the end of the month. So it's like we're very excited about to have that. So that's basically a good synoptic overview of what this documentary is going to be about.
And see, it's stuff like this that I really appreciate because it really shows that, you know, Black people were more than slaves.
Absolutely.
During that time.
Yes,
yes, there is the a shackles portion of the lineage, but there's a richer, you know, lineage as well that happened during that time.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate that, you know, there are documentaries like this that highlight that stuff, especially being from Lancaster,
right?
Like you hear the greats, you hear the names and everything, but you feel disconnected because it's mostly from the South.
You really
don't feel like, oh, civil rights or the Underground Railroad happened in my backyard.
No, so, we were right in the thick of it.
And see, this is something that I'm learning, you know, really right now. So what motivated you to really delve into the history of the Underground Railroad in South Central Pennsylvania?
Because there's a lot of rich history to be, you know, be simplistic about it. And it's not like I knew everything about the Underground Railroad, but I'm very appreciative to have basically been able to bring on some of the leading scholars in this region that are in the documentary and being able to research their books. And Cooper Wingert, he's a young gentleman, he's a PhD student. Scott Mingus in York County. Cooper Wingert does a broad expose. This gentleman, Daniel K. Ness, he's in Lancaster County, and he has a compendium. He gave this to me when I was giving a presentation in Lancaster last year. but a compendium, a general overview of the Underground Railroad. I've worked with Randy Harris.
Yes.
All the leading historians will be represented front and center in the documentary, and you'll be seeing them in documentary. So, like Thaddeus Stevens, he lived in York County, Adams County, and Lancaster County. Mm. So he has an expansive legacy, him and Lydia Hamilton Smith. Let's not forget her.
Yes. Well, I would like to thank you both for joining us. I could go on for like another 20 minutes talking about this.
Hopefully we can have you host the screening when it's in Dauphin County or Lancaster County, because I know I've talked with the president of Thaddeus Stevens School of Technology, so we're looking to have screenings in every county, so maybe you can host one.
Look, America will hold me accountable. Yes. yes. I want to do that.
Okay.
Thank you so much for coming up, you and your wife, Joni. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. So real quick before we head on out, mm-hmm. what's next?
I'm going to get through this, but I think we're going to do, we went regional now. We're going to do a state version. We're going to do a history of the United States color troops throughout Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
That's what I think our next documentary will highlight. So it'll still be a state overview now.
And this is going to be an obvious question here, but does your military background play into your interest with highlighting these black military stories?
Yes, to some extent it does, you know, but again, and as we say on our website, I'm not only limited to the African-American spirit, although I am African-American mm-hmm. based on that social construct, but we're looking at LGBTQ, Jewish histories, yeah. whatever histories that want to be told, we can help you do that.
Oh, Brian, you and your work are appreciated.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, yes, yeah. It was a pleasure.